Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders. And indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this 11th day of February 2024. And tonight our producer is John. Hey, John. I'm doing good, hanging in there. And then one good John deserves another way out yonder, okay, in Texas. That man, that chaplain extraordinaire, that statesman, none other than Big John McTernan.
Hello, Pastor Ernie, and God bless you and all our listeners. And when you coming down to the border? The National Guards are gathering down here.
Well, if I come down, I'll just send them home and take care of business myself.
There you go.
All right. Yeah. All right, there you go. All right, live, well, pretty close to live here in the studio with me is none other than Matt Klein.
Good evening, Pastor.
And then we have this fella that's running for Congress. That's right. His name is Aaron Michael Gunayas. Gunayas? Did I
Gunayas.
Get it?
You Gunayas. Got it.
Okay.
Yep.
Now I've known him for a long time. Why don't you just change it to Smith or something like that? That's easy to remember, right? No, Gunayas. All right. Another Irishman.
No. Nope. Greek. Gunayas is
know,
a Greek
I
name.
Know. Okay. All right. There you go. But anyhow, Aaron is running for Congress.
14th District.
As a constitutional conservative. And boy, I'm going to tell you, he has an uphill battle because, you know, like those people that are those judges in those courts that are persecuting President Trump, they must have had a hand in setting this up because, you see, for the Republicans or the Democrats, all they need is 50 signatures to get on the ballot. But now, for independents, it's 3,000.
3,003.
Would you call that a level playing field?
Not at all.
Okay. Would you call that two-tier form of justice? Folks, that's not right. That is not right at all. That is not right at all.
Okay. Well, bless God, I'm going to give a good try to get every single signature.
Well, we're going to help you out. In fact, ask the folks out there tonight.
Yeah, anyone listening that's in the Ohio's 14th Congressional District, that's Lake County, Geauga County, all the portage except Mogador and Suffield Village, Ashtabula and Trumbull. If anyone is willing to help circulate petitions to get signatures, I'd be more than grateful. You can contact me at 23psalm1@protonmail.com. It's the number 23, then psalm, number 1, at protonmail.com.
We're going to give that again at the bottom of the hour. So
okay.
And then we'll take let the folks know your positions on different issues. But right now, we want to go to our scripture for tonight, and the scripture for tonight is found in the book of Luke, chapter 11, verses 45 through 54. And John, do you want to read that? That's the book of Luke, chapter 11, 45 through 54. Let's take it a couple verses at a time. Do two verses at a time, okay? And pause.
Okay.
All righty.
I'm ready.
Go ahead.
Starting at verse 45. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying thou reproachest us also? And he said, Woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to the bone to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers.
Now, if we were to take a look at that today, now, listen, there are some good lawyers out there, believe me, folks. I know a number of them that are good Christian people, and they'll be the first ones to tell you that we got too many lawyers. We have way too many lawyers in this country. But today, when we take a look at lawyers like Jack Smith, like Merrick Garland, like Alvin Bragg, like Fannie Willis, like Letitia James, we've got some very corrupt people here, don't we?
Pastor Ernie, they're drunk with power. They hate God, and they'll do anything to destroy, to keep their evil system going and destroy anyone that stands against them.
We got to end these political prosecutions.
We do. I'm going to play a little clip here a little later on. It's, let me see. I might just play it now. This would be a very interesting clip. This is Ronald Reagan Jr. Well, no, it's not coming up Ronald Reagan Jr., so I can't really do that one right now. But I think I will play it later. It's just about a minute clip. But it's the title of my message for Sunday because he's an atheist, and he's promoting atheism. And then he says in a very smug way, by the way, I'm not afraid of burning in hell. Now, let me tell you something. Is that a smart statement or is that a really stupid statement?
The fool has said there is no God.
Okay.
Yeah. That's as dumb as it gets. It doesn't get any dumber than that, really.
And so, let's go here when he says, read verses 47 and 48.
Woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers kill them. Truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed kill them, and ye build their sepulchres.
So the Lord is really, he's laying it out on them out there. How do you think that would apply, like, in our country today, right now? If we go back to that 1973 Supreme Court, okay, all of those judges were lawyers before they were judges, weren't they? Okay. And said, what do you think right now, what would you be willing to bet that at least seven of those nine lawyers are burning in hell right today, John? What do you think?
Oh, Blackmun, who was the, he wrote Roe versus Wade, I heard him say he was going to take Roe with him to the grave.
Well, he says this here. Therefore, also, do 49. Just do 49.
Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute.
Okay, now the wisdom of God. Scripture says that God's wisdom is higher than the heavens. Higher than the heavens is. Now, let me ask you this. If you go out there into outer space, because he's referring to all three heavens, what is the limit of heaven? Where is the ends of heaven? Can
the second heaven or the third heaven?
All heavens, the third heaven. Can outer space, can that be measured?
No.
Well,
inside our realm, or dimension, right?
Well,
I mean, it's continuously expanding, but God's outside of the dimension of time.
Yeah, God is outside of the dimension of time, but it can't be measured. Okay, only God said he could measure it. Okay, and so the point that he's making is there is no limit to God's wisdom, that there's no limit at all to God's wisdom.
And he measures the heavens with the span of his hand, the incredible power of God.
Yeah. And so here he says this. Read verse 50.
That the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation.
Okay. Now, those out there today, so-called, the modern so-called scientists will tell you that the sun and the moon and some of these planets are much older than the earth. But God says no. In fact, he created the earth first, okay? Now, they say they're billions and trillions of years old out there, but God says no. If we take a look at this, that from the foundations of the earth, okay, until now, he said that these foundations of the earth, that the prophets which would shed the blood, okay? So these prophets weren't around trillions and billions of years ago, were they?
No.
Okay, so then he's telling you here, because the prophets have been around, you know, if we go back to the days of Adam, it's about 6,000, a little over 6,000 years, right? Somewhere between 6,000 and 10,000.
Yeah.
Okay. And so the there's a message in there. He's telling you there's a measurement of the time of the earth, actually, the foundation of the earth. And the very first prophet whose blood was shed was who?
Abel
was a, right, and he tells you in Hebrews that Abel was a prophet. It refers to Abel the prophet, okay? Go ahead and read verse 51.
From the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation.
Okay, now that was probably the son of Jehoiada, the Zacharias. And he was the very last prophet that was sacrificed before John the Baptist, came. And here, as far as this writing goes. And so and why was he? He was stoned. And do you know why he was stoned? He was stoned for preaching the gospel to the Jews, telling them they needed to repent or they were going to perish. They needed to repent. And what did they say? They said that we have nothing to repent of. Okay? And so, and remember when Jeremiah told them, look, this was before the Babylonians came in and took him prisoner, took him captive for 70 years. Jeremiah told him, look, you're in trouble. You better repent and just hope and pray to God to forgive you, because if not, the Babylonians are going to come and take you captive. And what was their response?
It was,
eyes they had, they couldn't see. Ears they had, they couldn't hear.
They had a response was, there will never be any foreign army come to the gates of Jerusalem. We're God's chosen people. We are God's chosen. So what did they do with Jeremiah when he told them that?
They threw him in a prison, I guess you'd call it a mucky place, up to his chest. And
it was a well, a dry well. It was filled with mud at the bottom.
Yeah, right.
And so what happened when he was in there, what happened at that time with the king Hezekiah?
Hezekiah?
Or
Zedekiah?
Was it, or was it Zedekiah?
Yeah, it was Zedekiah. Hezekiah was...
he was a good king.
Yeah. All those Kaias to me, they look the same. Anyhow, what happened was, the prophet came to him and said, look, you just threw one of God's prophets in that muck, in that mint. That God says what? Touch not his anointed, right? So what did he do? He said 30 men down there. He says, get down and get him out of there and get him out of there now, okay? And he did, but it was too late, wasn't it?
Yeah, and the interesting thing, Pastor Ernie, is when Nebuchadnezzar, the general of the Babylonian army came, the king of the Babylonian army, he honored Jeremiah.
He did?
Yeah, I know. Okay. And so here, he goes on to say, read verse 52.
Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye enter not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered.
All right, very good. Boy, do we have people doing that today. How would that apply to today? How would that apply to today? With the apostate preachers. Okay.
Well, there's the 501c3.
Okay. Well, the 501c3, that gives the people the impression that they don't realize that the corporation and the church is not the same thing. You can't be both. You can't be the living body of Christ and a non-living creation of the state at the same time. You can write church on every brick of the building, but you're not a church, are you?
Correct.
All right, but what about your, let's just say, your Word of Faith preachers? They say that repentance is not necessary for salvation. You don't need to repent to get saved. What do you think, John?
Pastor Ernie, it's right in the scriptures. I mean, that was one of the Lord's last commands when we look in particularly the book of Luke before he ascended. He told them to repent and preach the gospel beginning in remission of sin beginning in Jerusalem.
All right. What did who was the first preacher to preach repentance?
John the Baptist.
No, there was another guy who preached it for 120 years.
Noah.
That was right. It was Noah. Noah preached it.
Yep.
Now, here, just recently, Joel Osteen's wife came out, and she said the statement that this is not about God. It's about us. And what we do... We do good to please ourselves and not to please God. What we should do is to please ourselves and it's not about pleasing God, it's about pleasing ourselves. She said, because when we please ourselves, we're pleasing God. What's wrong with that? What do you think, John?
It sounds like they're God. It sounds like they're talking about they are God.
Yeah, it kind of sounds that way, doesn't it?
How about the scripture, sanctify you the Lord of hosts, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread?
Yeah.
We're supposed to continuously be repenting.
All right, so Jesus said what? Did he say that I've got to come before your mother and your father and your brother and sister? I've got to come first? You got to put me first?
Yep.
Okay, now, go ahead and read 53, John.
And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently and to provoke him to speak of many things.
All right, so when it says that they began to urge vehemently, what that means is they were trying to interrogate him. They were trying to interrogate him. And so laying wait for him,
trying to trap him.
And seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. Now, is that really prevalent today in our corrupt courthouses?
Everywhere.
I mean, it is really, really rampant. Corrupt. I mean, really prevalent today. It's amazing how prevalent it is today. And now I know I've had to, because of the work in the pro-life movement, I've been sued and arrested time and time again for preaching outside those bloody abortion mills. They've accused me of criminal trespassing, you name it. And they've accused me of it. They try to accuse me of throwing a firebomb into an abortion mill. But their timing was off. God always interfered with them because I was out of state at that time speaking to a large group of people. Not even I could be in both places at one time, right? Okay. And every time they tried to do it, then they tried another time. There was a fire and at one of the abortion mills. Guess what? They just happened to be being audited by the IRS, and where all their records were, that's where the fire caught up.
My gosh.
And can you imagine that? And they tried to blame it on me. They said, we know he's the one that did it. Well, the fire chief said something totally different. And so how many times, you know, has this happened? But in all those times, every single time, the cases that they charged me have been thrown out of court, been thrown against me. But when I was on the stands, I learned something right from the book here, and that is always answer a question. Jesus answered their questions with a question. He always told the perfect truth, but he never told them what they wanted to hear. Okay? He never told them what they wanted to hear. And they'd ask him, he'd say, okay, I'll answer that, but first tell me, John the Baptist.
Was he from God or was he from man?
Okay, there you go. And so every time, and so he answered them. And that's what I did. And boy, I'm going to tell you, it works very well. I at one time, we had a case where this ACLU prosecutor was trying to, she was asking me these questions, trying to get me into a trap. And when she would ask me a question, my answer was, why in the world would you even ask me that? And she got real frustrated. And she kept going and going. And she finally said to the judge, would you make him answer the question? And the judge says, will you answer the question? I said, what is the question? He said, I don't know. I said, me neither. And so he asked her, what is the question? And she couldn't remember. And so it was very interesting. That's what, God is not the author of confusion, boy, but he did send them some delusion. And so with that, we'll be back right after this. Be right back with more.
Through faith in God, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are endowed with inalienable rights. Of life and precious liberty, the pursuit of happiness. On these we now take aim and set our sights. Like sleeping watchmen on the wall, we have failed to heed the signs of usurping foreign powers within our land. Letting fraud, deceit, and usury be the curse of these hard times. Now won't you heed this wake-up call and lend a hand and be a part of the solution and restore our Constitution. Play your part in reclaiming our nation. Join the Second American Revolution today. Spirit of our ancestors who refused to live in chains, we now must cast our eyes on liberty's light. For the blood spilled by our forefathers still flows within our veins, and we shall not live as slaves without a fight. Like soldiers we must stand and face this enemy within, and do what we must do to seize the time. For in order to defend and exercise our liberties, we now must place our liberty on the line and be a part of the solution and restore our Constitution. Play your part join the second American Revolution today. Be a part of the solution and restore. System. Second American Revolution today.
Okay, you want to move your mic just a little closer to your mouth there. Yep. Okay, alrighty. Now, Aaron, Michael.
Gunnius.
All right.
Gunnius.
Second That's Amendment. It. Okay.
Pro life, pro family, pro Second Amendment. You have the right to protect yourself, your family, your property.
Okay, well, let's go down this list very quickly, because you're looking for some folks to help you. Pro-life, in order to get our endorsement, you have to be without any exceptions. Okay, pro-family, protect our children, ban woke culture, Marxist sexual perversion, curriculums and policies, restore sanity to women's sports and bathrooms. I agree with that. Pro-Second Amendment, you have the right to protect yourselves, family, and property. Period.
Yeah.
Okay. For tax cuts and low interest, secure the border, the death penalty for human traffickers and fentanyl dealers. Here's the problem we have with the death penalty. I'm all for the death penalty, as it's given to us in Genesis chapter 9. John, are you there?
I'm here, Pastor Ernie, and so, I agree with you 100%. I know where you're going with it.
Yeah, we're all for it, except for, here's the problem.
It's so corrupt. It's so corrupt.
Yeah, the problem of it is to administer the death penalty, you have to have standing. You have to have legitimacy. You see, if you don't have legitimacy or a standing, okay, then you simply have one criminal administering punishment to another criminal. Virtually every time we have an execution in Ohio, that happens, okay, because we have a government that's in favor of abortion. It violates all of God's laws. And since it's violated all of God's laws, what was the very first commandment God gave us?
Well, I'm keeping it on the whole point of, so fentanyl's killing 100,000 Americans a year.
Absolutely.
That's like 10,000 a month. This is a serious, serious problem.
So, I mean, we agree
so
with
So you got to crush that. It's a plague on our nation.
Oh, absolutely.
It's the number one killer of 18 to 45-year-old Americans. And then the human trafficking, I mean, it's such a tragic, horrendous, appalling action that you got to crush that, too.
Secure the border. The death penalty for human traffickers? Okay. Restore energy independence. Drill, drill, drill.
Yep.
And sell oil. Restore strategic reserves. No CBDC. The federal government should not have the power to control or penalize citizens' purchases and financial decisions. Electronically. You're absolutely right. Stop China from owning America.
Yeah.
Right. There should be no more purchases. In fact,
they're buying the crown jewels of our American industry.
They need to sell that property back, or at least have a property exchange from American land to Chinese or whatever. But anyhow.
Our technology, farmland.
Protect Medicare and Social Security. That's going to be a job.
Well, the Biden administration's gave $1 trillion to all these legal aliens. Unbelievable. And then Congress can't even trim all that out to protect our Social Security and Medicare.
All right. Remove, reduce administrative state, remove barriers to unelected bureaucrats routing Constitution and representing governments. We got to get rid of lobbyists. The lobbyists got to go, okay? Restore free speech and policies. We've got to make sure that those high-tech people...
Got to dismantle the censorship cartel.
They've got to be dismantled. You're right. Protect law enforcement with reasonable liability protections and common sense. And, reward good, clean, honorable cops.
Yeah.
And
if they see someone stealing a car, they should be allowed to pursue the grand theft auto.
Do their job. And,
yeah.
And we should be supporting... We do support our local police, but... But, like, I sure wouldn't support those D.C. cops, would you?
Well, I did include in there, I'm against all corruption. It's important to note that the vast majority of law enforcement is doing their job to honorably and protecting our communities and citizens.
Support building a new missile defense system for America and harden our energy grid, absolutely. Election integrity, paper ballots have accounted. Oh, by the way, we're going to hit some of that. Some of the articles we have tonight talk about, again, corruption and the paper ballots. More and more, they keep finding it. In fact, you have an article, I think.
I do.
And so we'll look at that. All right, give that website again.
It's 23 Psalm 1 at protonmail.com. That's the number 23, the word Psalm, the number 1 at protonmail.com.
All right.
Ashtabula, Trumbull, Geauga, Portage, and Lake County. That's the 14th of Ohio.
All right, now. Right now, who holds that office?
The current congressman is Mr. Joyce.
Dave Joyce, right. And Dave is no conservative.
I'm hearing he's voted many times with the Democrats.
Right, so we need someone who's going to be just...
It's going to a Bible-believing Christian who's going to vote the Bible every time, not just sometimes, and then what's best and consistent with our constitutional republic.
All right, very well. All right, tell us what you have about that, we were just mentioning there.
Yeah, so we have an article here, Mail-in Ballot Fraud Study Finds Trump Almost Certainly Won in 2020.
One out of every five mail-in balloters, the people that they polled, admitted that it was election fraud. They were phoning ballots, that they committed a crime. Go ahead and read it.
All right, this is by Tom Osamek. A new study examining the likely impact that fraudulent mail-in ballots had in the 2020 election concludes that the outcome would almost certainly have been different without the massive expansion of voting by mail. It's the Heartland Institute study tried to gauge the probable impact that fraudulent mail-in ballots cast for both then-candidate Joe Biden and his opponent, President Donald Trump, would have had on the overall 2020 election results. The study was based on data obtained from a Heartland Rasmussen survey in December that revealed that roughly 1 in 5 mail-in voters admitted to potentially fraudulent actions in the presidential election.
Wow.
There you go. All right.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, 20%.
Here's one. Well, we've known that. We got to get rid of it. We got to go back to one-day voting. One-day voting.
No voting month.
Right. No more mail-in ballots. Okay. If you're going to, no, you know, you can send someone over to the Board of Elections, pick up a ballot for you. Everyone can do that, okay? It worked. Don't ever fix something that's not broke. And so if there's any way that they can cheat, Democrats will cheat. That's just what they do, okay? Alrighty, listen to this one, John. Shocker. Mitch McConnell urges GOP senators to block the border bill. Now listen, remember, he was pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. Citing political mood in the country has changed rather than the flaws in the legislation. Is that another way of saying we've got caught, they caught us, okay? We didn't fool the people with this one. Is that another way of saying that, John?
Yeah. Pastor Ernie, how can... I'm at loss for words about the, quote, Republican Party keeping McConnell year after year after year as the he's the head of the Senate, whatever his title is. I mean, it's an indictment of them for what they're doing, supporting this man.
We got to get rid of all the rhinos.
Yeah, well, you know.
The Democrats ran as Republicans, the uniparty. The swamp must be drained.
Yeah. He says, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has advised GOP senators to block the motion to proceed with border security bill during a Wednesday vote on reported Punch Bowl News. The development comes after closed-door meetings where McConnell emphasized a change in the political climate as a rationale for opposing the bill negotiated by Senator Langford. There you go. There's a rhino.
The climate has never changed, Pastor Ernie. It's always been the way it is now. We needed some politician like Governor Abbott from Texas, to stand up and to get in Washington's face and say no more. Now, to me, that should have been done at least a year, maybe 2 years ago. Abbott did stand up, and now we can, rally around him. And that's what we needed. We need leadership, Pastor Ernie.
Absolutely.
Joe, has the border gotten better now that the National Guard is starting to arrive from other states?
That's not Joe, that's John.
Excuse me, John.
Oh, yeah. Because it's on the news all the time in Texas, and they went from tens of thousands every week crossing the border. The federal government was actually helping the illegal aliens.
Not only were they helping them, you're not kidding, they were working hand in hand with the drug cartels.
They were, and also the traffickers.
Yeah.
What they had set up, Pastor Ernie, in that park, well, they had a processing center. So the illegal aliens would come across, and they'd have the Border Patrol would have a processing center, and then they would take them by bus and sometimes by plane around the country. So he was facilitating it. And what Governor Abbott did was they strung, I think it was 30 miles of wire, and it was really done uniquely the way they did it, because I watched it on the news here.
That razor wire?
Yeah, it was razor wire, but it just wasn't one strand of it. The way it was done made it impossible to get through. So it cut it down to 100 a week, 90 a week, something like that. So it can be, if the border in Texas could be sealed, and Biden is going crazy because he wants to use the federal government now to take Texas head on to open it up again. But Abbott says it will not happen, that Texas is going to stand against Washington because we're being invaded.
We've said it time and time and time again. Biden was getting his orders from China.
Communist dictator Xi.
Tell him to get, you keep that border open, you keep our fentanyl.
We killing
want a
Americans.
Good supply. Look, you need a good supply of young children for those Democrats. The Democratic Party is just flush with pedophilia. It's flush. The leadership is flush with pedophilia. It's a horrible thing. But here, now, this bill that was introduced by Langford, do you remember what, now he's supposed to be a conservative, right? Do you remember what he was, he made a big stir a few years back when he, do you remember what it was, John, that he wanted to make the law or have legislation?
I remember him, Pastor Ernie, really coming up and standing up against Trump there about the fraud and all. I remember him. I was astonished how he knifed Trump in the back. That's what stands out with me about him.
Well, that, but there's something else. He was the one that wanted to make sex with 13-year-olds as long as it was consensual. He wanted to legalize. In other words, legalize, that's virtually legalizing pedophilia, right? That's what the ACLU is doing. Right now, people, they're running these ads on television. They're not telling, they're talking about keeping your freedom of speech. No, their number one goal right now is to legalize pedophilia. They want to try to...
I heard the United Nations wanted to do that.
They do. United Nations, you know.
So you're saying the ACLU. Who's they as far as who wants to legalize? What politicians are saying that?
The ACLU, what they call themselves, the American Civil Liberties Union.
Right.
Their main goal, that they're trying to push legislation amongst the politicians to legalize pedophilia.
My question is, which politicians
all
are...
Democrats. All Democrats.
Yeah. Well, God forbid that ever happens.
So...
That's something to add to my list. I will fight pedophilia.
There's an article right there for you. I put that article out there. This was And that was, you know.
This was the Gateway Pundit. Never forget, Kamala Harris kept black men in prison past their release date for cheap state labor in California. Kamala Harris kept hundreds of black men in prison past their release date so she could use them. So she could use these men for $2 a day for cheap California state labor. That alone should have disqualified Kamala Harris from public office. Extending prison sentences for cheap labor sounds like criminal activity. Back in February 2019, Jackie Kucinich at the Daily Beast wrote about Kamala Harris's attorney general office keeping inmates locked up so that the state could use them for cheap labor, just like slavers. Kamala also locked up 1,500 people for marijuana violations. Ordered to reduce the population of California's overcrowded prisons, lawyers from then California Attorney General Kamala Harris' office made the case that some nonviolent offenders needed to stay incarcerated or else the prison system would lose a source of cheap labor. In 2011, the Supreme Court ruled in Brown v. Plata that California's prisons were so overcrowded that they violated the Constitution's prohibition of cruel and unusual punishment. 3 years later, in early 2014, the state was ordered to allow nonviolent second-time offenders who have served half of their sentence to be eligible for parole. By September 2014, plaintiffs in the class action lawsuit were back in court accusing California of slow-walking the process, which lawyers for Harris's office denied.
Okay, now that's good. Now, one of the things that she also did, first of all, she tried to pass herself off as African-American. What's the problem with that, John?
Her background is, from India.
Puerto Rican?
No, it's India, I think. Isn't that it, Pastor Ernie? India?
No, I think it was more,
it's Puerto Rico, isn't it?
No,
no.
I believe it was Jamaican. Where was it they had the big slave plantations?
Yeah, she's Jamaica, but half her father, there's a split there between a mother and a father. You know, that's right.
The father was from India, wasn't he?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
But her genealogy, going back, was her grandfather or great grandfather somewhere around there was one of the largest slave owners in Jamaica.
Yeah, he was the largest slave owner in Jamaica. Okay, but you didn't hear that, you know. It's the irony is so bad, because, you know, here, and Joe Biden, remember Joe Biden, all of his buddies were Klansmen. And when he was a senator, he was not very pro-black. Okay, he was...
Was that Senator Byrd a Klansman?
Yeah. But now, guess who it was that accused him of racism, Joe Biden of being a racist, when they were running for office of president? It was Kamala Harris. She's the one accused him of being a racist. But how quickly they forget, huh?
Yes, Pastor Ernie. I remember that when he selected her for vice president. It was, that friction that you just mentioned, and how could that, they had to smooth that over for her as vice president.
So... one of the things, where was that article on, we had the article on the babies. Do you have that article?
I have that over here.
One of the most disgusting things, you know, the DOJ, there's nothing about the DOJ. John, do you remember when I called there? Remember when I called? They have, what, like 1,900 lawyers there, right? And do you remember when I called there and we tried to find out if there was any, if we could find one Christian? And they actually helped us there to see if there was any Christians that they could find working there. They could not find one person working at the DOJ that testified that they were a Christian. Over 1,900 lawyers there, okay? Woe unto you lawyers, okay?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, it was very interesting. When I was an agent, I retired in 1998, almost all were conservative, and there were agents that I knew that knew the Lord. Of course, there were liberals in there, but most of them were really conservative. But all the assistant United States attorneys, they were as liberal as could be. There was a big divide between the U.S. Attorney's Office and the agents as far as, you know, political view and one being conservative and being liberal. Now, that goes back into the 90s when they were, most of them were just hardcore liberals, best known.
And so what is happening right now, because the Communist Party, our Democratic Communist Party, all of the lawyers' guilds are run by Democrats, all of them. And they have just recently come out and said they are going to target all Republican lawyers. They're going to target all Republican lawyers to get them censored or removed. What do you think of that?
That's where we the people need to, those of us who are lawyers who believe in Jesus or just honor our constitutional republic, need to start filling every position in every sector of our society to fight the good fight.
This is what tactical civics is all about. This is exactly what tactical civics does. And let me just, I'm just going to read you a little bit here from this book called The Grand Jury Whig. Electing new politicians can't fix this. The election overthrow was the last straw. In other words, he was talking about this, the stolen election.
And well, if we have legitimate elections.
That was a coup d'etat, what took place. Now, there's going to be an investigation, and it looks like the Supreme Court's going to hear if, in fact, the coup d'etat removed President Trump, the legitimate president of the United States. This is one of the things the communists are so worried about, because if that happens, do you realize what that means? That means that we've had an illegitimate person occupying the White House all this time. Everything he's done would be null and void, okay? Not only that, what about all of the, and that whole committee, that whole, what they call select committee, all those communists, Nancy Pelosi and all those communists on that committee, they committed high crimes and treason. That's called treason, okay? And so he goes on to say this, the election overthrow was the last straw, but the military could do nothing about the hijacking. The Posse Comitatus Act forbids it, and the military is shot through with truly un-American officers. One militia, only the militia can lawfully arrest and arrest the crimes by the ruthless public service pushing Obama's dream election truly cannot fix us. Well, obviously, we all know Obama's still pulling the strings, okay? Joe Obama's just a puppet. Now, over 14 years and 70,000 hours, we have developed tactical civics. Now, it's been a lot longer than that now since this book was written. The only full-spectrum solution, we the people have the authority and the lawful power to arrest corrupt actors and end the hijacking before it's too late. We need to build our numbers, then in every county, restore the Constitution into law enforcement institutions. That's the purpose of our online training center. We can arrest the hijacking, but you must do your part. And so Tactical Civics is growing, folks. If you just go up on the Internet to tacticalcivics.com, just tacticalcivics.com, and you can join, and it's growing at a rapid rate. The Communist Party knows that. And, you know, we're seeing, across the country, we're seeing people taking, citizens taking their counties back. And
isn't the majority of counties in America, don't they have a chapter of Tactical Civics?
Yeah, they do. There's 3,300 counties, 3,300 counties in America. And right now we have chapters in 21, okay? 100, okay, 2,100, so
well, praise
and it's
the Lord
growing, but they're growing to soon you're going to start seeing the militias formed and then the grand juries, and it's happening already where they're removing the corrupt politicians, but people need to, everybody needs to do their part. They've got to get involved and take part in that. So,
Pastor Ernie, there was a town in Michigan, just a little ways back, not too long ago.
Yeah, we had them on the program.
Yeah.
The Chinese wanted to build a 26-acre building, 20 cover 26 acres of land, They want to build this huge to make batteries here. And what happened is the county officials, they wanted to get, they were willing to sell out the people there in the county, sell their farmland, and, you know, but they didn't want to bring in these communist Chinese. They did not want to bring in all these workers and have this communist Chinese plant. So the people said, no, we don't want the Chinese coming here. But the county officials said, wait a minute, there's too good of money in this for us. And so what did the people do? They went and they had a recall. They got a petition together. They formed a militia. And they removed them. Right now, what's happening in Alaska, you know what's happening in Alaska right now with the grand jury,
Supreme
John?
Court. The Supreme Court there, Pastor Ernie. They've been doing, they've created a grand jury like you're talking about, and they've done everything they could to try and shut this grand jury down, and they disband the grand jury, and they form another one. And they disband it and form another one. And they're really zeroing in on the corruption there, Pastor Ernie, in Alaska.
And they're thinking of doing the same thing in Denver, where you have in Colorado, you have that corrupt Supreme Court. And so the people are awakening. The people are awakening, okay?
They don't like it when you turn those lawfare tactics on them.
And this is exactly what Mitch McConnell was saying. He said, the mood of the country is changing. In other words, we got to back down now. The people are on to us. The people are on to us.
Did you see, Pastor Ernie, what happened in Hawaii with the Second Amendment?
No.
The Supreme Court of Hawaii said that they used a word. It would be a Hawaiian word, supersedes the Constitution, and the people have no constitutional right in Hawaii to own a weapon. That was like today. It just came out today. They actually said that. So
that won't stand. You're going to see that'll definitely go to the court, and that'll be challenged immediately by the citizens there. And so, because Hawaii, though very very communistic, but they do have some conservatives. All right. We're going to be coming up to a break here in a minute. When we come back from the break, we're going to be hearing from Sheriff Richard Jones of Butler County. And he's going to be talking about a meeting that the Sheriff's Conference had. So hang tight. We'll be right back after this. Don't go away. A whole lot more to come. One.
Cable news, noisy, boring, out of touch. That's why Salem News Channel is different. We keep you in the know, streaming 24/7 for free. Home to the greatest collection of conservative voices like Dennis Prager, Jay Sekulow, Mike Gallagher, and more. Salem News Channel is unfiltered and unapologetic. Watch anytime, on any screen, at snc.tv and local now, channel 525.